Chapter 44. They stepped from the tent. The early light of Onos was a pink glow on the eastern horizon. High overhead, Tano and Sitha had emerged from the clouds, and the twin suns, now at their zenith, had a radiance that was strange and wonderful to behold. There was one more. Far off in the north, the small, hard red sphere that was the little sun, Dovum, was shining like a tiny ruby set in the forehead of the sky. Four suns, Theramin said. A sign of luck. All about them, in the apostles' camp, there was the bustle of activity. The trucks were being loaded. The tents were coming down. Theramin caught sight of Fulaman far across the other side, directing a team of workers. The apostle leader waved to Theramin, who nodded in return.
You hate the idea that the apostles will rule the world, Sephira said. And yet you're still willing to give your allegiance to Fulaman? Why? What sense does that make?
Quietly, Theramin said, Because there's no other hope.
Is that what you think?
He nodded. It began to sink in after Fulaman had been talking with me for a couple of hours. Every rational instinct in me tells me not to trust Fulaman and his crew of fanatics. Whatever else he may be, there's no doubt that Fulaman's a power-hungry manipulator, very ruthless, very dangerous. But what other chance is there? Altanol? All the petty little bosses along the highway? It could take a million years to weld all the new provinces into a global economy. Fulaman's got the authority to make the whole world kneel to him. Or to Mondior, rather. Listen, Sephira, most of mankind is lost in madness. There are millions of crazies loose out there now. Only strong-minded ones like you and me and Bine have been able to recover, or very stupid ones. But for the others, the mass of humanity, it'll be months or years, or never, before they can think straight again. A charismatic prophet like Mondior, much as I loathe the idea, may be the only answer.
No other option, then?
Not for us, Sephira.
Why not?
Look, Sephira, I believe that what matters is healing. Everything else is secondary to that. The world has suffered a terrible wound and
has inflicted a terrible wound on itself.
That's not how I see it. The fires were a response to a vast change of circumstances. They never would have happened if the eclipse hadn't yanked our curtain away and shown us the stars. But the wounds go on and on. One leads to another now. Altanol is a wound. These new little independent provinces are wounds. The crazies killing each other in the forest, or hunting down fugitive university professors, are wounds.
And Fulaman? He's the biggest wound of all.
Yes and no. Of course, he's peddling fanaticism and mysticism. But there's discipline there. People believe in what he's selling, even the crazies, even the ones with sick minds. He's a wound so big he can swallow all the others. He can heal the world, Sephira. And then, from within, we can try to heal what he has done. But only from within. If we join him, we stand a chance. If we set ourselves up in opposition, we'll be swept aside like fleas.
What are you saying, then?
We have our choice between rallying behind him and becoming part of the ruling elite that will bring the world back from insanity, or becoming wanderers and outlaws. Which do you want, Sephira?
I want a third choice.
There isn't any. The Amgondo bunch doesn't have the force of will to form a workable government. People like Altanol don't have the scruples. Fulaman already controls half of what used to be the Federal Republic of Saro. He's certain to prevail over the rest. It'll be centuries before the reign of reason returns, Sephira, regardless of what you and I do.
So you say it's better to join him and try to control the direction in which the new society goes than to oppose him simply because we don't like the kind of fanaticism he represents?
Exactly. Exactly.
But to cooperate in handing the world over to religious fanaticism...
The world has made its way up from religious fanaticism before, hasn't it? The important thing now is to find some way out of the chaos. Fulaman and his crew offer the only visible hope of that. Think of their faith as a machine that'll drive civilization, at a time when all the other machinery is broken. That's the only thing that counts now. First, fix the world. Then hope our descendants will get tired of the mystical fellows in the robes and hoods. Do you see what I'm saying, Sephira? Do you? She nodded in a strange, vague way, as though she were responding in her sleep. Theramin watched as she walked slowly away from him, toward the clearing where they had been surprised by the sentries of the apostles the evening before. It seemed like years ago.
She stood a long while by herself there in the light of the four suns. How beautiful she looks, Theramin thought. How I love her. How strange this all has turned out to be. He waited. All about him, the breakup of the Apostles' camp was reaching a pitch of activity, robed and hooded figures running back and forth past him. Fulleman came over. Well? We're thinking it over, Theramin said. We? I had the impression you were with us, no matter what. Theramin eyed him steadily. I'm with you if Sephera is. Otherwise, no. Whatever you say. We'd hate to lose a man with your skills at communication, though. Not to mention Dr. Sephera's expertise with the artifacts of the past. Theramin smiled. Let's see how skillful I've been at communicating just now, eh? Fulleman nodded and walked away, back to the trucks that were being loaded. Theramin looked toward Sephera. She was facing the east, toward Onos, while the light of Citha and Tano descended on her in a dazzling stream from above, and out of the north came the slender red spear of Dovum's beam. Four suns, the best of omens. Sephera was coming back, now, trotting across the field. Her eyes were shining, and she seemed to be laughing. She came running up to him. Well, Theramin asked, what do you say? She took his hand in hers. All right, Theramin, so be it. Almighty Fulleman is our leader, and I will follow him whithersoever he telleth me to go. With one condition. Go on, what is it? The same one I mentioned when we were in his tent. I won't wear the robe. I absolutely will not. If he insists on the robe, the deal is off. Theramin nodded happily. It was going to be all right. After nightfall came daybreak and rebirth. Out of the devastation, a new Kalgash would rise, and he and Sephera would have a voice, a powerful voice, in creating it. I think that can be arranged, he replied. Let's go talk to Fulleman and see what he says.